Hey everyone, and welcome back. Today we're going to be taking a deep dive into something that I think affects pretty much all of us at some point.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Self-doubt. We're looking specifically at Chapter 10, Breaking Free from Self-Doubt, from Stephen Scott's book, Stop Sabotaging Your Best Life.
Great book.
And what's really cool is Scott has spent over 20 years helping people reach their full potential. So this isn't just some theory he came up with.
Right, he's actually out there working with people.
Exactly. So it's battle-tested stuff.
Yeah.
So let's jump right in.
Okay.
One of the things that really struck me right away was how Scott calls self-doubt a sneaky saboteur.
Oh, that's so true.
And I was like, yeah, that's exactly what it is.
It really is.
It sneaks up on you when you least expect it. And
yeah, and it holds you back.
It holds you back from doing all these amazing things that you're totally capable of.
Absolutely.
And he even uses this awesome quote from Shakespeare.
Yeah.
You know, our doubts are traitors and make us lose the good we oft might win by fearing to attempt.
It's powerful, isn't it?
It's so powerful. And it just makes you think about all the times that self-doubt has, like, held you back.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Or even just made you hesitate. From going after something that you really wanted.
Definitely. And I think recognizing that it's there is like the first step.
Yes.
Like once you see it, then you can start to, you know, deal with it.
Totally.
So what does Scott suggest that we do to actually, you know, tackle this sneaky saboteur?
Well, he gives us this whole toolkit of strategies, which is awesome.
A tooltip. That's great.
I love that analogy.
Yeah.
So the first one is challenging those negative thoughts that we have.
Okay.
But it's not just about ignoring them, right?
Right, because we all have them.
Because they're going to pop up no matter what.
Exactly.
So it's about taking them head on.
Okay.
And Scott's approach is almost like putting those negative thoughts on trial.
Interesting.
Like, you know, it's a courtroom drama.
Yeah, I like that.
And you're questioning them.
Yeah.
You're saying, hold on a second, negative thought. Where's your evidence? And he gives this example of like, let's say you're thinking, I'm going to bomb this presentation.
Right.
Scott would say, okay, well, first of all, is that even true?
Mm-hmm.
Have you actually bombed a presentation before?
Right. Probably not.
Probably not. And even if you haven't prepared as well as you would have liked,
yeah,
can you still kind of salvage it?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So it's really about looking at it from all angles and not just accepting that negative thought as the truth.
I see. So it's like instead of letting that negative thought run the show, you're taking control.
Exactly. You're being the judge and jury and really like examining the evidence.
Yeah.
And then Scott says it's all about replacing those negative thoughts with more empowering ones.
Okay. So it's like a mindset shift.
It's a total mindset shift.
Yeah.
So instead of thinking, oh, I'm going to mess this up.
Right.
You could say, I'm prepared. I've got this. Or, you know,
I handle whatever comes my way.
Exactly. Or even if I make a mistake, I'll learn from it and do better next time.
Right. It's all about that positive self-talk.
Exactly.
Reframing those thoughts.
Yeah. So we've challenged the negative thoughts.
Okay.
What's next in this toolkit?
Well, he talks about the importance of focusing on growth, not perfection.
Ooh.
And I think this is something we can all relate to.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We live in a society that's so focused on being perfect.
Right. It's like you have to have it all together.
Yeah, and it's exhausting.
It's so exhausting.
And it can really hold us back.
Totally, because we're so afraid of making mistakes.
Right.
That we don't even try.
Exactly.
So how does Scott suggest we shift that focus to growth instead?
Well, he says we need to embrace mistakes as learning opportunities.
Okay.
Instead of beating ourselves up over every little slip up, we should see them as valuable feedback.
I like that.
You know, think about it when you're learning a new skill.
Right.
Do you expect to be perfect from the start?
No way.
Of course not. You make mistakes, you adjust, you learn, and you grow.
That's such a good point. And it's like we need to give ourselves permission to be human.
Yeah.
To make mistakes and to learn from them. I mean, imagine if we never tried anything new because we were afraid of not being perfect at it.
Oh, we'd never get anywhere.
We would never get anywhere.
We'd be stuck.
We'd be so stuck.
Yeah.
So it's all about progress, not perfection.
Exactly.
And how do we celebrate that progress?
This is the fun part.
This is the fun part.
Scott says we need to celebrate even the small wins.
The small wins.
And this is where I think a lot of us stumble. We tend to focus on the big goals, the end result.
Right.
And we forget to acknowledge all the little steps we take along the way.
Yeah, like we don't give ourselves enough credit.
Exactly.
So what does he suggest we actually do to celebrate those small wins?
It can be as simple as taking a moment to acknowledge your accomplishment, no matter how small it might seem.
Okay.
Maybe you finished a task that you were dreading, or you finally tackled that pile of laundry that's been sitting there for a week.
Oh, yeah.
Give yourself a pat on the back.
I love that. And it's almost like building this success track record in your mind.
Yeah.
Like each small win reinforces that belief in yourself and your ability to achieve your goals.
Exactly. And it gives you that momentum to keep going.
Yeah. So it's like you're training your brain to focus on the positive instead of dwelling on the negative.
Exactly. You're rewiring your thought patterns.
Okay. So we've challenged the negative thoughts. Mm-hmm. We're focusing on growth, not perfection. And we're celebrating those small wins. But there's more, right?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot more to uncover in Scott's toolkit.
This is just the beginning.
Stay tuned for more.
All right. We'll be right back after a quick break.
So it's like you're training your brain to focus on the positive instead of dwelling on the negative.
Exactly. You're rewiring those thought patterns.
And speaking of training your brain, Scott has another strategy that might seem a little counterintuitive.
Oh, I'm intrigued.
He suggests visualizing success,
okay,
but also embracing failure.
Wait, embracing failure.
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of the opposite of what we should be doing?
I know, right? It sounds strange, but hear me out.
Okay.
When we reframe failure as a teacher,
okay,
it loses its power to paralyze us.
So instead of seeing it as this big, scary thing we need to avoid at all costs, we should look at it as a learning opportunity.
Exactly. It's about shifting your perspective.
Okay. So how do we actually do that? How do we embrace failure when it happens?
Scott says it's all about asking yourself, okay, what went wrong there? What can I learn from this? And what can I do differently next time?
So it's like turning those moments of doubt into stepping stones.
Exactly. You're using those setbacks to propel yourself forward.
I like that. And it's not about beating yourself up over it.
No, it's about learning and growing.
And remember, we don't have to go through this alone.
Right. Scott emphasizes the importance of seeking support.
Yes. Having a good support system can make a world of difference.
Absolutely. And he points out that feedback can be incredibly valuable.
Especially when we're stuck in our own heads.
Exactly. Sometimes we need that outside perspective to see things more clearly.
So talking to a trusted friend or mentor or colleague.
Mm-hmm. Anyone who can give you honest and constructive feedback. Because they can help us challenge those self-doubts that might be holding us back.
Right. It's like having someone hold up a mirror and say, hey, you're amazing. Don't forget that.
I love that. So we've got this toolkit of strategies from Scott. Challenge negative thoughts, focus on growth, celebrate small wins, visualize success, and embrace failure, and seek support.
It's a pretty comprehensive toolkit.
It is. But how do we actually apply these strategies in our everyday lives?
Well, Scott gives us some great examples.
Okay.
He emphasizes that self-doubt isn't this big dramatic monster that only shows up for major life events.
Right.
It's those little insidious voices that can creep into any situation.
Okay, so like what kind of situation?
Well, let's say you're about to give a presentation at work.
Right.
Those familiar doubts might start whispering things like, you're not prepared enough, or what if they ask you a question you can't answer?
Ugh, I hate that feeling.
We all do, but instead of letting those thoughts spiral, remember Scott's strategies.
Okay.
Challenge those negative thoughts.
So ask myself, am I really not prepared? Have I done everything I can to get ready?
Exactly. And if you haven't, what can you do in the time you have left to feel more confident?
Okay. And then shift my focus to growth.
Right. Remind yourself that this presentation is an opportunity to learn and improve your skills.
Even if things don't go perfectly.
Exactly. You can always learn from the experience and do better next time.
And remember, even the most seasoned professionals have had moments of self-doubt.
Oh, absolutely. Everyone gets nervous sometimes.
That's reassuring.
It is. We're all human.
Okay, so don't forget to celebrate those small wins along the way.
Yes, maybe you nailed a particular slide or you engaged the audience really well.
Acknowledge those successes no matter how small they might seem.
It's all about building that positive momentum.
And reinforcing the belief that you are capable.
Exactly.
Okay, so before I give that presentation, I should take a few moments to visualize myself succeeding.
Yes. See yourself delivering the presentation confidently and engaging the audience.
And visualize how I might handle a tricky question.
Or a technical glitch.
Right. Being prepared for those potential challenges can help me stay calm.
Absolutely.
And if I do stumble a bit, remember to embrace it as a learning opportunity.
Right. Ask yourself, what could I have done differently? How can I improve for next time?
And don't hesitate to reach out for support.
Exactly. Maybe you could ask a colleague for feedback. Or practice your presentation with a friend.
Okay, so it's really about taking those imperfect actions, learning from them, and celebrating the progress we make along the way.
Exactly. It's not about being perfect.
It's about recognizing that self-doubt is a normal human emotion.
But it doesn't have to control us.
So we've covered a lot of ground here. We've explored Scott's toolkit of strategies for overcoming self-doubt, and we've looked at how we can apply those strategies in everyday life. But there's one more piece of the puzzle that we need to address.
Okay, what's that?
Well, we've been focusing on the internal battle with self-doubt. But what about the external factors that can contribute to those feelings of inadequacy?
Oh, that's a great point. You're right. It's not always just an inside job.
Yeah. Exactly. So in the final part of our deep dive, we'll explore those external factors that can contribute to self-doubt and discuss strategies for navigating those pressures.
Sounds like we have a lot more to unpack.
We do. Stay tuned for the final part of our deep dive. Welcome back to our deep dive on self-doubt. So we've been talking about all the ways we can kind of battle those inner critics, you know, those voices in our heads.
Mm.
But there's also a whole world out there that can make those doubts feel even louder.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, we live in a society that often sets these crazy, unrealistic expectations.
It's true. It's like there's this pressure to be perfect in, like, every single way.
But I feel like nowhere is that pressure more intense than on social media.
Oh, my gosh.
You're constantly bombarded with these picture-perfect lives.
Right. It's all curated.
It's all curated. It's like perfect bodies and perfect vacations and perfect families.
Yeah. And it's easy to start comparing yourself and feeling like you're not measuring up.
Totally. So how do we deal with this? Like, how do we navigate social media without letting it destroy our self-esteem?
Well, Scott doesn't say we have to, like, totally disconnect or anything.
Oh, right.
It's more about being mindful of how we use it.
Okay, so being more selective about who we follow and what we're actually looking at.
Exactly. Like, maybe unfollow those accounts that make you feel bad about yourself.
Yeah, like those that trigger those negative comparisons.
Right, and instead, you know, seek out accounts that inspire you, that make you feel good.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And just remember that most of what you see on social media, it's not real life.
Yeah, it's like those perfectly staged Instagram photos of food.
Exactly. Nobody actually eats like that.
No.
It's all about the aesthetic.
It's all about the aesthetic. And it's not just social media either, right?
Yeah, it's everywhere.
There's pressure to conform in so many areas of life.
Yeah, like career paths, relationships, even just how we look and dress.
It's like there's this unspoken rule book for how we should be living our lives.
And if you don't follow it, you feel like a failure.
Totally.
So Scott says the way to combat this pressure is to reconnect with our own values and priorities.
Okay, so asking ourselves, like, what actually matters to me? What kind of life do I want to create?
Exactly. He really emphasizes the importance of authenticity.
Like being true to yourself.
Yeah, when we're living in alignment with our true selves, we're less likely to be swayed by all that external pressure.
It's like we have our own internal compass.
Exactly.
Okay, so we need to tune out all that outside noise.
Yeah.
And tap into our own inner wisdom.
Right. But how do we actually do that?
That's the question.
Well, Scott suggests practicing self-awareness.
Okay.
Pay attention to the thoughts and feelings that come up when you're exposed to those external messages.
So if I'm scrolling through Instagram and I start feeling jealous or inadequate, that's probably a sign that I need to take a break.
Exactly. It's about recognizing those triggers and making conscious choices about how you engage with them.
And it's not just about avoiding the negative stuff, right?
No, it's also about actively seeking out experiences and relationships that nourish your soul.
That make you feel good.
Yeah, and that align with your values.
Surround yourself with people who lift you up.
Exactly. People who celebrate your unique qualities and support your dreams.
Yeah, because having that kind of support system can make such a huge difference.
Absolutely. It's like having your own personal cheer squad.
I love that.
Reminding you of your strengths and encouraging you to keep going.
So to wrap things up, I think it's important to remember that breaking free from self-doubt isn't about silencing those inner critics completely.
Mm-hmm.
It's about learning to manage them and not letting them control us.
Right. It's about creating a life that reflects who you truly are, not what other people expect you to be.
It's about defining success on your own terms.
Exactly. And remember, it's a journey.
Yeah. There will be ups and downs.
Defer. But yeah, with these strategies we've talked about, you can navigate those challenges and keep growing.
So as we finish up our deep dive, I want to leave you with this thought. What's one small step you can take today to resist those external pressures and embrace your authentic self?
Because every step you take towards self-acceptance and self-belief brings you closer to living a more fulfilling and meaningful life.
That's it for our deep dive on breaking free from self-doubt. Thanks for joining us.
And until next time, keep believing in yourself.